maybe another rail. We laid one rail this morning concerning being all in. We want to lay another rail beside that tonight to help you, not to condemn anybody, but to help us. And all I can do is preach. I can't change you. I can't make your decisions for you. You got to do that yourself. You got to decide whether or not you're going to get all in or not. Last Sunday morning, I preached on the one that returned. And I want to be the one. I don't want to be the nine. Now, I love you. If you're a nine, I love you. All right. But I want to be the one. I'm not going to let the nine distract me or discourage me. I'm determined to be the one. Now, I may fall flat on my face. But if I do, I want to fall facing forward. You understand? If I fall, I want to fall forward. I don't want to fall backwards. All right, and I want to be the one. This morning I preached about being all in, and I preached about Elisha burning his plow, burning the past, burning the things that will hold us back from being all in. How Elisha then asked for a double portion. He was concerned about spiritual growth. He wanted more. But as you grow spiritually, you're not going to be trouble-free. There is things that's going to happen. It's wonderful that Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Can you agree to that tonight? I'm so glad that Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for us. Can anybody say amen right there? But you know, and I'm glad he arose from the grave. Ain't you glad of that he rose, that he's not dead? But you know, there weren't no resurrection or ascension. There couldn't have been that had there not been a Calvary. There had to be some trouble somewhere. There had to be a Gethsemane. There had to be a judgment hall. There had to be some scourging. All of that happens, and then a blessed resurrection and a glorious ascension, and that's the cream. But can I tell you that sometimes as we move along spiritually, there's got to be some cuts and some bruises, some smacks, some heartaches. Yeah. All right, and even death. Yeah. Before we see the good thing. And that's just part of it. Now, Christ told his disciples and reminded them that they're no better than he was. Yes. If you read your scripture, he'll tell me, are you better than your Lord? There's going to be times it's going to be tough. Yes. But you're going to have to decide whether or not you're all in or not. Yes. Now, you can float if you want to float. Yes. All right. The only thing I've ever heard about the people in the boat when Peter walked on water was they didn't do it. Never heard nothing good about none of them staying in the boat. Have you? In fact, there's not even nothing said about them other than they just stayed in the boat. But they one walked on water. Now, he sunk, but he still walked further than anybody else ever has other than Jesus. I believe Peter might have been all in. Now, we say, yeah, but look, he denied. Yeah, he denied. But this one. Well, that episode of three times, but that was just that one event. He didn't deny no more. He got all in, didn't he? What I want you to understand, that being all in is not going to be perfection. It's not going to be without trouble. It's not going to be without trial. It's not going to be without mistake and failure. But there has to be an attitude of all in. And tonight we want to pick up on that. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Speak to my heart. Speak to everyone that hears tonight, whether it be in person or live stream. I pray that we might not only hear, but that we'll obey. Lord, we hear. It's not hard to hear. But it's hard to listen. But it ain't hard to hear. And Lord, I pray tonight that we might not just hear with our ears, but we'll listen. And we'll pay attention. And then we'll do what you say to do. And then we'll go from here all in for you. I believe you're worthy tonight. Now, I'm nothing. I can't, but you can. Lord, if you don't help me tonight, I can't preach. I can't think. I can't breathe. I can't read. I can't do nothing unless you help me tonight. Lord, you've helped our service. Lord, thank you for the service tonight. Thank you for the singing. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the music. Lord, I can't get over that at the runs on that bass and piano and the guitar together there on Dwelling in Beulah. I love it. Lord, you're just good. Everywhere I've turned today, you've just showed yourself wonderful. Now, Lord, please touch me fresh. Give me power. Give me wisdom. And Lord, help me to do what you want me to do this evening. I'm going to thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. My day started good this morning with the Sunday school hour. Brother Rick, he hates anybody to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I just assume him teach is eat when I'm hungry. I love to hear him teach. And I appreciate it. He helps me. And I appreciate Brother Rick. Well, we started this morning on that thought about all in. We're going to keep on. I want you to understand we need to get all in because there's things to be done. If we got 50 more years, our time's short. I don't think we have that. But if we have 50 more years, our time's short. I don't have enough time. If we have 50 more years, I'm 110. I'm almost that fella that's the oldest guy, okay? I don't know that I got another 50 in me. But I'm going to give her all I got until that day happens, all right? And just leave the casket open, schedule my service, and I'll get there when I can, all right? I'm going to try to be busy right up until they time to bury me, okay? I'm that far behind, okay? I ain't going to even get to be embalmed. I'm going to have to just keep going. So listen to me tonight. It's time that we make some decisions to be all in. But we have so many setbacks in our mind. See, I don't know that our problem's in our heart, that our problem's in our head. We don't listen. We're hard-headed, and we're control freaks. Everybody in here is a control freak. You may not be the type A control freak. There's some type A. You know, that type A is everybody knows you're a control freak. Then there's that type B that you're kind of quiet about. There's type C. You won't tell nobody about it, but you're really underneath the control idiot. You know, and everybody to a point, even some of the children. The reason I know children are like that, when Marcus was little, we would try to help him, me do it. That's what he said, my do it. And when children do that, they might have a little control problem. What do you think? All right? And I think we're all like that. And can I tell you, we can't be all in if we're control people. We can't be all in. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, I believe in the sovereignty of God. That just simply means God can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, because he's bigger than everybody, and he's great. Does anybody agree with that? I believe Brother Dave just read it. I am Lord, and there is none else. Ain't nobody else. Ain't nobody for him to go to for counsel. He is the counselor. No, he don't go to nobody for advice. Nothing ever occurs to him. He'll never have a moment. Never. He's always got it in control. Do you believe that tonight? Now, seriously, I'm asking you, and I want you to answer me verbally. If you hear me tonight, either say yes or no, because that's your answer. Do you believe he's completely in control of everything?
Yes.
Do you believe he's got a plan for your life?
Yes.
How about before you were born?
Yes.
Well, he had to, because he knows who's going to be born, when he's going to be born, where he's going to be born, what he's going to do after he's born. He knows the decision before they make him. He knows the decision when they made him. And he knows where they was right after they made him. But he knew they was going to be right or wrong before they made him. And he knew all that before they was born. Now you say, wait a minute. No, that's God. Now he gave us a free will that we could choose him and we could go our own road. But I believe with all my heart he has a will for everybody. And I believe that will, that the Bible says that everything that was created to please him. Now, it either means that or it don't. Now, help me tonight. I'll preach quick if you'll help me. All right? Now, do you believe that? That's what the Bible said. Do you believe that? Don't tell me you believe the Bible, but can't believe that verse. Do you believe that everything that was made to please Him? You ought to say, yes, I do. Or no, I don't. It's one or the other. All right, if you believe that, then what about your life? What about your life? Now, this is not the message. This is just part of the message. The message is real short, but we've got to build up to it. If you turn to Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah chapter 1, and we look at verse 4, and it says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," now this is Jeremiah writing, you understand. He said, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I adorned thee a prophet unto the nations." Now, that was God's plan for Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah had to do some things to line up with that, but that was the plan that God had for Jeremiah. Now, he wasn't forced to do it. He wasn't, that ain't the way it was. But yet God knew him before he was born. He had a plan for him. And that's the same with everybody. And he puts us in situations. See, the Bible says that if I be lifted up, Jesus speaking, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So he knows that somewhere everybody is going to be drawn to him and given an opportunity to trust him or reject him. Because he's promised that. The reason I know, because it's not his will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. So everybody's going to have an opportunity. So he's going to orchestrate somebody to get everybody the gospel. He's going to orchestrate somebody to take a Bible or the Word of God by mouth or some way to get you to understand that you're lost. Even if he has to have the stars and the planets to preach, they're going to preach and everybody's going to have an opportunity. Now that's what the Bible teaches. But he don't make nobody. But he makes an opportunity for everybody. You understand that? Nobody goes to hell rejecting Christ without an opportunity to accept Christ. No one. Now, to understand that more fully now, if he's going to orchestrate it for me to hear the gospel, then draw me to where I either accept or reject. Then if I accept, why would I not think then he has a plan for my life? A place, a plan, a people. Now there'll be a lot of things that's going to have to work to get some things maybe to where I need to be. There's going to be some failures on my part. Because I'm not always going to do the will of God. So God's going to allow for that failures of mine. Because he remembers that I'm but dust. But yet he's still in control. And he's going to orchestrate me and always kind of pushing me over in on that right road and always trying to get me in that right direction. And sometimes it takes a lot of pushing in some areas. But he's still in control. See, I belong to him. I belong to him. I'm his property. And he's going to take care of me, and he's going to try his best to get me to understand that. But I have a hard time listening. Right. Now I don't know about y'all, but I rebel against God. Y'all ever do that? Yeah. I rebel a little bit. I got a little bit of rebellious spirit in me, and I don't always do what I'm supposed to do. I don't always say what I'm supposed to say. Don't always go where I'm supposed to go. I find I have a problem. But that don't keep the Lord from trying to get me to be what he wants me to be. Now, his main goal is I'll be conformed to his image. And when he gets all the edges knocked off, then I'll be with him in glory. The story I told you about the preacher come out, he's building the church house, and he's working on the steeple, on the belfry, on the bell tower, And there was a stone cutter there. He'd chip on that rock and he'd look up. And he'd chip on that rock and he'd look up. And he'd chip on that rock and he'd look up. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well," he said, "I'm making this piece to fit up there." And the preacher looked and there was a hole up there in the top of the bell tower. And that stone cutter was down there cutting off edges, and he kept looking, and he was trying to fit it down here to fit up there. And that's what I love that verse, that song we sung a while ago, "Take time to be holy," when he's fitting us here for service up there. And that's what I thought about. And that's why we go through some things, because he's working off the rough edges to get us fit for up there. Now, we're clean on sin. All right, because of Christ's blood. But he's fitting us for service. Okay? Is everybody still okay? Now, hang with me now. I'm building something here. I just want you to hang with me just for a moment. Now, if I truly believe that he's got a plan for my life, then I need to pay attention to my life and how he's orchestrating me. I believe with all my heart that I'm in the center of the will of God in the place that I'm at. Now, I'm not always in the will of God while I'm here. All right? I make mistakes, but I do believe that I'm in the place that I need to be in the perfect will of God. I believe for right now, this is where I'm supposed to be. I don't doubt that. But getting me here, there was a lot of things I had to endure and go through and figure out to get me here was not of my choosing. You understand? But I'm here. Alright? I have no desire to be nowhere else. Alright? Now, we've got our problems. Everybody's got problems. We've got our issues. But I don't know. I don't know that you need to be anywhere else either. Okay? All right? Now, I'm saying all that to say this. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. Before we can get all in, there's some things that's going to have to be realized. And we're going to have to come to, what would be the word? We're going to have to come to terms with some things in our life. In Exodus chapter 3, now we're going to preach out Exodus chapter 4, one or two little verses here, but we're going to give you some thoughts here. Exodus chapter 3, and we're not going to read all this, but we're going to look at the verses kind of generally down through verse 14. We find out there in verse 1 that Moses is keeping the flock of Jethro. And he goes by, and he finds there a bush that's burning but it's not consumed. And we find there that he's in the presence of God. And when you're in the presence of God, God will speak with you. He'll talk with you through his word, however you want to view it. He'll speak with you. And we find there in verse 5 that when he called out Moses in verse 4, Moses addressed him and said, "Yeah, I'm right here." In verse 5, he takes off his shoes, calls this holy ground, because the presence of God is a holy place. Is everybody agreeing with me?
Yeah.
Now just hang with me. We go on down, and God tells Moses that I need you to do something here. Now I come down, in verse 8, he says, "I come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians," speaking of the children of Israel, "to bring them out to a land, to a good land and a large, to a land flowing with milk and honey." And he said, "The cry of the children," in verse 9, "I've heard it." In verse 10, he says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee." All right? Now hang with me there. God's got a work for us to do. He's got a work for us to do. When we get in the presence of God, he don't say, "Go over there and take a back seat. I don't want you doing nothing. You're retired." He don't say that. He says, "I've got something for you to do." All right? Moses is 80 years old. All right? So, we ain't got but a couple 80-year-old ones here right now. Right? The rest of us ought to know we're going to work yet today. But the 80-year-old, you ain't done yet either. And in fact, Moses didn't quit until he's 120. So hang in there. You got work to do. All right? Hope and Carolyn, Gene, y'all got 40 more years. Hang in there. All right? Y'all okay with that? Talk to me now. Come on. Miss Hope, you said you wasn't ready to quit. All right. Hang with me there. Now, after that was done, I'm going to call your attention to something. In verse 11, it seems like this is a question that we ask, that when God starts messing with us and shows us we got work to do, the first thing we say, well, who am I? Who am I to do anything? Huh? Is that what it says here in verse 11? And Moses said unto God, well, who am I that I ought to go down and talk to Pharaoh? I'm nobody. Who am I that I ought to go talk to Pharaoh? You ever catch yourself when you know the Lord is urging on you or moving on you, or you're reading your word and you're convicted about doing something or stopping something? You say, but who am I? Who am I that nobody's going to notice me? Who am I to take on that job? Who am I to do that service? Or who am I? Nobody's going to care if I miss or don't do. Who am I? And we get that syndrome of I'm a nobody and nobody loves me and I'm going to go out and eat worms and nobody cares and it don't matter. I'm nothing. And Moses tells God that. And you say, well, who do you think he is? But we tell him that all the time.
Right.
Who am I? Who am I? Do you not remember, Lord, what I've done last week? Do you not remember what I've done 20 years ago? Do you not remember what I've done 30 years? You remember all them messed ups? You remember all them bad? Yeah. He said, I'm going to send you. Yeah, but wait, who am I? Do you not remember, Lord? You ever ask God if he remembered? Why would you want me to do that? Do you not remember what I am? Everybody still hanging with me now? Well, stay with me now. And then after the Lord wouldn't listen to that, he said, well, who are you? And he said, well, we don't ever ask yet, do we not? Do we not ever ask who he is? Do we not ever ask him, is he really the God he says he is? Is he really all power like he says he is? Can he really do all like he says he does? Do we not doubt? Is there not time we doubt who he is? Talk to me tonight. Verse 13 says, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what's his name? What shall I say? Who are you? He said, I am that I am. I am that I am. I am the I am. I'm him. I'm the one you can trust tonight. Listen, God has got work for us to do, and our first excuse is, who am I? Who am I? I can't be all in. Who am I? I can't add nothing to it. Who am I? I can't do it. Who am I? But God did not ask Moses if he thought he was qualified. God said, I've done got you and I need you to do it.
Amen.
Is everybody following me?
Yeah.
And then we say, well, who are you?
Yeah.
He said, I am.
Yeah.
I am not I was. I am that I am. He's the one that is for us. The Bible says, if he be for us, who can be against us? Listen to me tonight. The very God that has saved you and wants you to do for him and be all in tonight is the very God that said he'll never leave you. He'll help you. He'll be right there with you.
Amen.
That's who he is tonight. You still okay? He's the one that his name, when we speak his name, angels bow, demons demons bow, demons shiver in their tracks when we speak the name of the great I Am that lives in our heart and dwells inside of us and calls us to be the servant that He wants us to be all in. Huh? Just the name. A name that's higher than any name. For God has given Him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That's what the Bible says. Hear me tonight. At His name. But we don't know that God got everything fixed up. Lord, if You want me to do it, then why did all this happen? Well, let's think about Moses for a minute before we get to the message. Moses was born and put when he was just a little boy, a few months old. He was put in a bulrush, an ark of bulrush, right? Handmaids, pitched, put in there. Do you think that was an accident?
No.
Huh? Talk to me. I want you to talk. We're going to talk with this family. We're going to talk tonight. Do you think it was an accident?
No.
See, the Bible tells us that when Moses was born, the reason that the midwives didn't kill him is because God done a work in them people having the kids that they didn't have to holler for the midwife. And they was having them, and the midwife couldn't tell when they was born. I'm trying to show you God's in control. We're still okay. But He's in control of an individual's life. But a whole nation's life. He's in control of Amram and Jochebed. He was in control of the midwives. He was in control of Amram and Jochebed. He was in control of Pharaoh's daughter. He was in control of the current in the water that got the ark of bulrushes down to where it belonged, to where there was a woman taking a bath and going to find it. Now, I'm talking about the God that has saved you and called you to be all in. Are you still with me? So now Moses is raised for 40 years in Egypt. Now why? Well, did you ever think that he was going to have to stand before Moses, or Moses was going to have to stand before Pharaoh to get the people free?
Yeah.
What better training than 40 years living in an Egyptian palace than knowing every part, every procedure to get an audience with the Pharaoh?
Amen.
To know how to go about it, to know how to speak, to know how to do everything necessary, but he couldn't do it unless he spent 40 years in the palace.
Yeah.
Are you following me?
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. He didn't free the Israelites in them 40 years. No. No, he took things in his own. Killed an Egyptian taskmaster. Got messed up. Made a mistake. You ever made a mistake? Right when God was orchestrating things in your life, did you ever make a mistake? He born you in a family He needed you born in the county He needed you born in the city He needed you born in, moved you to work in a city He needed you to move in, to send somebody with a Bible or a preacher to come to your house to get you saved. He orchestrated all of that to try to get you where you needed to be all in. Do you believe that? Huh? Think about it. You're not here by accident.
No.
Well, I felt like it's where. What made you feel that way? Huh? Maybe it was indigestion. You're supposed to be somewhere else. No, it's God working in our hearts to get us where we need to be, that we might be all in. Then he spends 40 years tending sheep. What a depressing life after you live 40 years in a palace. But yet, God's preparing Moses. He's getting ready to take 2 million people out in the desert.
Yeah.
So God sent him on the backside of the desert, herding sheep, to where he'll know how to lead 2 million people in the desert.
Yeah.
He knew where how the shade was when the sun was out, knew where the watering holes was. Did he not take him straight to Marah? Did he not know how to get to Elam, where the springs was and the palm trees was when he left Egypt? Did Moses done that? Moses was aware of what to do. God's training Moses 40 years in a palace to talk to Pharaoh 40 years later. He's training him 40 years in the wilderness to get him to be able to lead the children of Israel through the wilderness. And we're worried about going all in because we don't know if God will help us. Right or wrong? Are you still hanging with me now? He knew how to do it. Alright? Now let's start over and we'll preach for a minute. Give you a thought and go home. Look at Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, we'll start at verse 1. Said, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. The Lord done told him who he was. And he said, well, but they ain't going to believe. They ain't going to do it. They ain't going to do it. They ain't going to do it. Benny, can I tell you? I know that's what it says, but that ain't what was in Moses' mind. It says they ain't going to believe it. Huh? He says they won't believe what I say. Moses is saying, I don't believe it. I don't believe they'll listen. I don't believe he's meant. Now, I know what it says, and I believe that's what it says, but I believe there's an undercurrent here. I believe that Moses is saying, yeah, they ain't going to believe it. I don't believe it. How are they going to believe it? Huh? Be okay? Now, hang with me now. It says, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, and this is where we're going to preach from tonight, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. And it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Huh? Yeah. Now, let's look and see what the story is here. Moses is arguing with the Lord. Yeah. See, undoubtedly, that's where we're at tonight if we're not all in. We're arguing with the Lord because we don't know if he's really God or not. We don't know if he's going to help us. I know he helped him other people, but who am I that he would help me? Who are you, Lord? You said you would never forsake me or leave me. But you remember that time? It was cold and dark. And he said, yeah, and I didn't leave you and I didn't forsake you. It would have been a lot colder and darker had I not been with you. Are you still with me tonight? I'm telling you that we talk ourselves and back ourselves up into a corner that we won't trust the Lord to go all in. Because we're depending on what we got in our hand. Are you still following me? The Lord asked Moses, said, what's in your hand? He said, it's a rod. The rod. Well, you can have faith or you can have control, but you can't have both. You listening to me? You can have faith or you can have control, but you can't have both. You don't have to drop what's in your hand. See, what Moses dropped was his livelihood. He was a shepherd. What Moses dropped was his self-control. What Moses dropped was his ability. What Moses dropped when he dropped that rod, He had to have some faith to drop it. But when he dropped that rod, can I tell you, that's what he protected his family with. That's what he protected his sheep with, his livelihood. That's what he protected the assets of Jethro, his father-in-law. That's what he done for his boss. And he had to hold on to it because he was the one in control. And Moses never got all in until he dropped what was in his hand. Are we okay? Well, let's look at it a minute now. Let's think about what we're talking about here. Not willing to let go. Sometimes we won't drop what we got because we're not willing to let go of it. We want to do it our way. We want to do it how we want to do it. Me, my do it. My do it. My do it. Are you following me tonight? We need to be all in. But we're going to have to drop what's in our hand. We're going to have to depend on the Lord. See, he dropped that rod, and just soon he dropped it, it turned into something he didn't think he liked. Huh? You know, when we turn loose, when we let go and let God, are you listening to me? We let go and let God, we get scared of what we see. Right or wrong? We feel like we're vulnerable. Y'all didn't know my daddy. A couple of you did, but I was never afraid of nothing if I was with my daddy. There was nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. The whole world would have come against me. Big deal. Daddy's there. Daddy's there. Because I trusted my daddy's ability. I trusted what he'd been through. The battles he'd fought. I trusted his grit. I trusted his mean streak. I trusted everything about my daddy. So I was not scared. I was not scared. No, no. See, the Lord wants me to go places and do things and be all in. But now, who are you, Lord? Who? No, wait a minute. Who am I? Why would you choose me? I see you chose me. Who are you? I don't want to turn loose. See, Moses turning loose of the rod was like Elisha burning his plow.
Yeah.
Are you following me tonight? Talk to me if you're following. You got to turn loose tonight. We're afraid to drop it because we think we're in control. But can I tell you, if you don't drop the rod, you're not in control anyway. It's controlling you. We okay with that? I'm trying to get you to see that going all in, not bad. Going all in, it may be a little scary, sure. Sure. Because we ain't never been there before, but can we not trust?
Yeah.
Huh? This is a life of faith tonight.
Right.
We got to live by faith.
Yeah.
You got to live by faith, and the Lord wants you to go all in. Can you not trust Him tonight? Can you not trust Him with the heartache? Can you not trust Him with the trial? Can you not trust Him with the failure? Can you not trust Him to do what He said He would do? Sure we can. But I'm afraid tonight. See, that staff was Moses' identity, his security. And we don't want to turn loose. We don't want to turn loose to who we are. Well, who are you tonight? Just who are you? Who do you think you are? That might be a better way to say it. That you won't serve the Almighty God all in. Who do you think you are that you could take a little bit of salvation and not get all in? Who do you think you are? That might be the best way instead of saying who we are. We still okay? Give a couple of thoughts to it and I'm done. See, if you don't throw down your staff, see, if you don't throw it down, it'll always be a rod. That's all it'll ever be. If you don't get all in, you already have seen the maximum of the blessing of God. You've done topped out. If you're not all in, you've done topped out. Ain't going to get no sweeter. Ain't going to get no brighter. If you're not all in, you've done reached your limit. And you say, well, wait a minute. No. If you throw down your rod, like Elisha burned his plow and his yoke and his reins and burnt the ox and ate it, walked away from it, got a double portion. He'd have never got that had he not burnt what he had. Moses would have never been the deliverer of Israel from Egypt had he not thrown the rod down. Because it quit being his rod and become a miracle instrument so he could show the children of Israel. It's the same rod that brought water out of the rock. It's the same rod that was held up in the Red Sea parted. It's the same rod that was taken into Pharaoh's throne room. And they would say, get out of here. Get everything out and get out. But had he not dropped it on his part. See, when he picked it up again, it wasn't his rod. Are you following me tonight? When he threw it down, it became something he was scared of. And that's the will and the power of God. But when he picked it up again, it was no longer the same rod. That rod was never the same when he picked it up again. It was God's rod. And I'm asking you tonight, will you not get all in? See, you don't understand what he's doing. See, I know what I had to go through to be here. See, when the children of Israel, was time for them to leave, Moses went straight into Pharaoh's room. Now, you understand that Moses was an enemy of Pharaoh. You understand that's why Moses fled, because Pharaoh wanted to kill him. You understand that. And Moses went right into the throne room and said, let my people go. And it got to the point that Pharaoh then asked for an audience of Moses. What do you think changed all that? Moses knew how to work it out because God had already trained him. You're here. You're here tonight. You're here in this church. You're here for a purpose. And he needs you to be all in to do it. When Rick Childers came to Mountain State Baptist Church this last time, he left here when he was the school principal and left, and they shut the school down. He left. But when he came back, in October of 04, of 2004, when he came back in October, Rick Childers wasn't a Sunday school teacher. He was just a normal, sit-in-your-pew kind of guy. He worked, done whatever was asked of him, but he didn't teach Sunday school. October, November, December, January, Rick Childers never taught a lesson. Never read a verse out loud in the church. Never filled in a class. Never done anything. But then in February, I asked him to fill in a Sunday. And then 2 weeks later, I asked him to fill in another Sunday. And then in a week or so later, I asked him, if you just take the Sunday school class. And he took the Sunday school class. And now for almost 20 years, he's been teaching our Sunday school class. But that ain't what he thought he was going to do when he came. See, what he thought he was going to do, he may never say it, but he was just going to come in and go to church, be faithful, and do what was needed. He never thought of being that. And then when it come time to find an assistant, I felt like I needed an assistant. Church was growing. I couldn't do everything. He came to me and said, can I be in the hat for being a sister? I said, yeah, sure can. I don't have nobody else. Your own name in the hat. He said, I don't want to be the church's assistant. I want to be your assistant. I said, what do you mean? He said, it means if you leave, find a place for two, I'll go with you. That was his exact words. Well, ain't what you said, Brother Rick. But you know what God had orchestrated in his life to get him here? He had left here and went to Pipestand and taught in the school in Pipestand and then ended up in Virginia Street as a teacher for Brother Dennis when Dennis was pastor, and then tragedy in his home and life changed everything around and he ends up back here. All in the will of God. I don't know of anybody more in the will of God than myself other than Rick Childers teaching this class. Right. Are you following me? But at the end of the day, it was preparation done. God's preparing. Look where you've been. Look what you went through. God's got you for something. He wants you to get all in so He can show you what it all is. Are you following me tonight? Opportunity after opportunity is laid out for us at this church. And we're going to have to get all in. Fine. I think I'll just quit right there. See you Wednesday.